Today, we want to identify ourselves with the prophet Jonah. So I entitled the sermon, Prophet Jonah and I. Prophet Jonah and I. There are two things run through the book of Jonah. There are two things. By now, you would be very familiar. Those two things, the man and the message. Now, what do I mean by the man? You know, the man Jonah. God's plan for Jonah, God's dealings with his life that we have been meditating as we ran through those four chapters, the man Jonah. And today we want to once again, in a very particular manner, look into his life and find the lessons, learn the lessons for our lives. And the second theme we already meditated, the message in the book of Jonah, particularly last Lord's Day, remember, the great sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. God is supreme. God is sovereign over our lives. No one will be able to run away from God. God plans. God decrees. God appoints. And we need to fall in line. Lord, your path. You are my God. You are my King. My life is in your hands. The message, the sovereign plan of God for Jonah's life, and also we have seen very clearly God's sovereign plan of salvation for whom? For the Ninevites. A people whom God has created. A people who could not discern between their right and left hand, because they were under the dominion, under the control and the power of sin. Would God forsake them? What's the answer? God will not forsake them. No matter how sinful we are, how wretched we are. We all are wretched creatures, okay? If Paul can say, Romans chapter 7, the memory verse, oh wretched man I am. If Paul could say about himself, so wretched, what about you and I? The people of Nineveh, they are so evil, so sinful. But God, in his sovereignty, reached out unto them. Great message. God sent forth his son to save all those who call upon the name of God. God's salvation he offered for all of us, whether we are good or bad. By the way, nobody is good. None is good. So we thank God, no matter how sinful we are, God's grace is sufficient for us. Wonderful message runs through the book of Jonah, that we need to continue evangelizing, declaring the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. Last Friday, while we were having the Bible study, we emphasized this. We reach out to our parents, our loved ones who are not saved yet, who are not saved yet. Our friends, our neighbors. The gospel message is not to be hidden. The gospel message is to be shared. And we cannot be reluctant to go. And that's why we normally say, the gospel is always on the go. It is not to be kept secure somewhere. Saying that only for the Jews, only for my family, only for Jonah and his. Jonah, you must go. Even to the uttermost part. Wonderful message. Don't miss it. I have emphasized it enough. We as a church are committed with this gospel on the go. We thank God for the various opportunities. Before we came in, thank God for the Canada congregation. They came around 20, 25, 30 of them. coming and worshipping and from various villages here. Every week we reach out to them. Every week we go to visit them. And we thank God for such an opportunity. And many among us, for first time and coming, and when you come to a place like this, you must hear the gospel. You must hear the gospel. It is not the beauty of the sanctuary that saves your lives. It is the gospel that saves our lives. And we so earnestly, with so much burden in our hearts, we want to again and again share the gospel message. Salvation is not in anybody else, but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ our Lord. And that message has to go to the uttermost part, even cities like Nineveh, countries like Assyria, Babylon, wherever, the uttermost part of the earth. So the book of Jonah challenges us. But Jonah ran away, reluctant prophet. God told him, go, Jonah. This is my way, Nineveh, you must go. God turned his route from his will to the will of God. Now, Jonah struggled. Jonah struggled to understand the will of God. Jonah had to learn through hard way that God's will for his life. And as he struggled through, God dealt with him. So this morning, through Jonah, I want to invite each one of us to look into our own lives. The prophet Jonah and I. Jonah is a symbol of the inner struggle that is going through every Christian. Please take note. I repeat, Jonah is a symbol. Jonah is an example of the inner struggle we all go through, every Christian. Do we go through struggle in life? Yes, we go through struggle. I'm talking particularly the spiritual struggle. And Jonah is a symbol. Jonah is an example. He being the prophet of God, he went through struggle. And we need to identify ourselves. We should get into the shoe of Jonah and see what were the struggles that Jonah went through. And how did God help him to handle those struggles? And that's the exercise for us this morning for the next half an hour as we prayerfully consider God's word. Now, what were the inner struggles that Jonah went through? What were the inner struggles that Jonah went through? Jonah struggled when it came to the will of God for his life. To understand, Jonah ran away with his own resolved plan, neglecting what? The plan of God. That was Jonah's struggle. Jonah ran away from God. Now, just a revision, huh? Few times I mentioned the while we were studying through the book of Jonah, I have given you an overall outline. There are four runs in the book of Jonah. Every chapter can be said, run, run. Do you remember? Chapter 1 talks about what? Jonah ran away from God. Chapter 1, Jonah ran from the presence of God. Ran away from God. He went to got into the ship, and then all those happened over there. And then chapter 2, another run. Why don't you remember? Jonah repented. Jonah ran towards God. He repented. So the fish vomited him out at the shore. Jonah ran
ran
toward God. Lord, have mercy on me. I know that you are my savior. I know salvation is only in you.
He ran toward God. Chapter 3. When Jonah went to preach the message to the Ninevites, what happened? What is the run over there?
Ran with God.
Jonah ran with God.
Yes, Lord, I will go.
And he, whatever the Lord said to him, the same Jonah proclaimed there. Jonah ran with God. And then finally, chapter 4, again the struggle that Jonah faced. Jonah ran ahead of God.
Lord, you would be merciful to the people of Nineveh.
He went there, he preached the message, but Jonah was very unhappy. Jonah wanted to see the city of Nineveh to be destroyed. They don't deserve, according to Jonah's understanding, they don't deserve the mercy of God. They're so sinful.
Jonah ran ahead of God.
Jonah's struggle was, I want my own system, my own way. When God told him to go to Nineveh, to the east from Joppa where he was, he determined to go to Tarshish, around 2,000 miles. So between Nineveh and Tarshish, they were around 2,500 miles. Nineveh was in the east and Tarshish was at the west. That was Jonah's struggle, my dear friends. He was torn in between. God's will for him is Nineveh and his determination, Tarshish. Jonah's struggle. Although he was a prophet of God, he had his own aspirations, he had his own dreams that were quite contrary to the Lord's plans. I mean, nothing wrong with having our own aspirations. There's nothing wrong with having our own plans, please. But there is one important point come to us this morning as we look into Jonah's life. Our aspirations, our dreams, our plans must go along with what? God's will for our lives. Otherwise, you are running away from God. You are running ahead of God. You understand? We cannot run away from God. We run toward God. We run with God. Those are the lessons we must learn from the life of Jonah. I hope this is very clear for us. We run with God. We run toward God. Never running away from God. Our plans must comply with God's plan, God's will for our lives. By the way, Jonah was a good prophet. Huh? I don't want to put a very black picture about Jonah. God used him mightily. He was a servant of the Lord, a prophet of the Lord. But even then, there were struggles. And when we serve the Lord, when we follow Him, we want to always make sure. I don't want to put a black picture upon every one of us saying that we are so bad, so bad. We are so bad when we look into our own sinfulness. But when the Lord forgives our sin and gives us His mercy and His righteousness, we thank God. God can use us. But the struggle is a reality among all of us, or in everyone's life, the struggle is a reality. But when we go through that struggle, how should we handle that struggle? Jonah teaches us, the book of Jonah, the life of Jonah, teaches us a lesson. So that is my attempt this morning. When Jonah struggled in his life, how God guided him. There are four things I want to briefly share with you. First one, how can we handle the spiritual struggle that we face in our lives? Number one, understand and accept that God's plan for our lives may be different from ours, but they are definite. I repeat, understand and accept that God's plans for our lives may be different. Sometimes may be the same, but sometimes may not be the same. May be different. But God's plan for our lives is what? Definite. Unfortunately, Jonah had to learn it in a very hard way, as I mentioned earlier. He had to be thrown out of the ship that he got into travel into the Mediterranean Sea, got into the belly of the fish. He had to go through the hellish experiences over there. And then finally God had to deal with him and come back to the Lord with repentance, and the Lord restored him. That was Jonah's life. But in the process, this is what I want to highlight. In the process, God never changed his plan for Jonah. Right? In the process, God never changed his plan for Jonah. Now, what was God's plan for Jonah? Chapter 1, verse 2. That was God's plan for Jonah. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh. That was God's plan for Jonah. Now, after all the struggles that Jonah went through, got into the belly of the fish vomited him out at the seashore. After all those experiences, did God change his plan? Oh, Jonah, now I know it is so difficult for you to accept, I know. So now you stay back in your hometown, Joppa. What did God say to Jonah? Chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And what was God's message? Verse 2. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I call thee to do. The message that I tell you. Very much same as it was original in chapter 1, verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh. God's plans for our lives always remain the same. We need to understand. Okay? God's plans for our lives remain the same. God never changes. This is called in theology, what? The immutability of God. Learn a word in theology. This is called immutability. Means God is unchanging, unchangeable. God never changes. So don't come to the Lord and try to change God's will and plan for your life. Now, we may have a problem now. Then why should we pray? Lord, if your will are not to be changed for my life, then why have you called me to pray? Problem? How should we answer? Many times we hear this question, Lord, if you are immutable, if you are unchangeable, that your plans for my life cannot be changed by my prayer, then why should I pray? Any answer? Any? Is it? For every prayer there is answer. But that answer may not be according to what we will. God never go unanswered. Or God never forsake our prayer. For every prayer there will be answer. But important to understand, the answer may not be according to what we ask for. You understand? This is very important. We struggle in our prayer lives because we don't understand this. Important understanding or aspect of God dealing with our lives. Our prayers are our petitions. Please understand that our prayers are our petitions, our appeals, our cries. When our prayers are according to God's will, He listens. When our prayers are not according to His will, He will give us the strength. He will prepare our hearts. He will prepare our lives that we would be able to understand what the will of the Lord for our lives is. You got it? In other words, our prayers are not to change the will of God. Our prayer changes whom? Us. That is the understanding. Our prayers are not to change God. So that's why always when we pray, at the end what should be there? Let your will be done. That is the correct understanding of prayer. That is the correct way of praying. Lord, let your will be done. I come with all my struggles. You call me to pray. You call me to come to you and cry out. Yes, Lord, I come. I pour my heart before you. I pour my struggles before you. I know you understand my struggles. Lord, give me the strength. Reveal your will for my life. Guide me according to your path. That is the right prayer, my dear friends. That we, as we struggle before God, the Lord strengthens us, reveals His plan for our lives, and we must experience that in our prayer lives, okay? Please. And that is why we are strengthened each time when we bow down before God. Each time when we spend a half an hour, 15 minutes, 5 minutes in our prayer, we are so strengthened. Our prayers may not be answered according to what we prayed for, but God has answered our prayer. We have experienced His presence. We have been strengthened. That's what we need. Jonah had to understand this. It was a difficult journey for Jonah. Through very hard way, Jonah had to understand this. So, dear friends, I pray that we would be able to understand and accept what God's plan for our lives. And be always encouraged and strengthened and be firm that God has His perfect will and plan. That He will not change here and there His will for my life. Can you imagine if God always changes His plan for my life according to what I ask for? Oh, my life will be in big problem. Because I can ask any nonsense to God, right? We are not perfect. We are so weak. Many times our prayers become so selfish. Because we only see the temporary thing of a Heavenly Father. The Almighty who sees everything inside out, He knows the very best for us. That He will answer, He will guide according to His perfect plan. God never changes. Now, move on. The second point that from Jonah's life that we can learn. Align with God's plan. Running contrary to God's plan would be disastrous. Take note. Take these points for your life. Align. Prepare your hearts to go in accordance with God's plan when God reveals His plan unto us. Running contrary to God's will would be disastrous. Jonah ran contrary to God's will. Right? What was God's will for Jonah? Nineveh. Contrary to that, exact opposite, he chose Tarshish. Where he ended up? He ended up in the fish belly. My dear friends, we are many times tempted. Let me put it this way. We are many times tempted in our Christian life run contrary to God's will for our lives. No wonder we end up in disasters. I just want to share an incident that we came to know recently. A young girl, while we were in the Bible College, one of our faculty serving together with us in Chennai, just 1 year ahead of Abigail, and she was just studying, and then the parents, a proposal came. The parents hurriedly gave her for marriage, and he got married. Maybe 20 years of age when he got into the marriage. They lived only for 1 year. And today, they are in the verge of divorce. When we came to know, our hearts were very much almost broken, because we knew this girl very well. Very, very capable young girl, and there was a very good future for her. If her parents waited for the Lord, prayed enough, and knew that this was God's will, but this was not God's will. Many times we go by seeing, even Christians, I'm talking about this, the parents were both studied in the theological seminary, and the father was serving as a principal of the seminary over there when this thing happened. But things went wrong, terribly went wrong. And today, the condition of her is she's almost broken in her mind. They were in the US, and that's where the wedding happened, and she had to come back, and now she is in India, in her mother's place, and the parents also left the seminary, spending time with her to counsel her, to make her stable. That young girl, she could not understand how life to be, and suddenly ended up in such a disastrous situation. She's almost broken her mind, running contrary to God's will, would end up in disastrous situations. We need to earnestly pray. When we are in crossroads of decision makings, my dear friend, don't rush through. Take enough time. Beautiful proposals might come. Beautiful, I put in inverted comma, yeah? Beautiful proposals will come. But make sure what you see with as beautiful may not be beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. May not be beautiful for your life for long term. Wait upon the Lord. Pray earnestly. Cry before God. Lord, is this your will for my life? Lord, is this your will for my children's life? Running contrary to God's will would be disastrous. Don't choose our own comfort zones and try to go accordingly. What is God's plan? Keep our aspirations, our dreams at the altar of the supreme and sovereign God. Let God guide us. Let God lead us. Thirdly, the third principle that we want to learn, not to be frustrated at the will of God, but fathom the sovereign God. Not to be frustrated at the will of God, but fathom the sovereign God. Chapter 4, we have seen in Jonah's case, when Jonah saw that the people of Nineveh are responding to the message that he preached, was he happy? Was he happy? Jonah was not happy when he saw that people have repented. He was not happy. He ran away from the city, and he went to a desolate place, and he sat there. He prepared a cover for himself, and then it was not sufficient. But he was so angry over there. And he was waiting to see. What was he waiting to see? That the people would go back into the sinful ways. Sometimes we can be that harsh with God's will. We are so deliberate. Want to go with our own plan. Even when the Lord does miracle, we close our eyes to see the work of hand. We are so hardened. Jonah was so angry. Lord, what are you doing? Christian struggle. You know what happened to Balaam, the prophet of Israel? Right? When Balak called him to curse Israel against the enemies, what did God tell to Balaam? Don't go. Don't go. Was Balaam happy? Balaam was not happy. Balaam was not happy. He was so frustrated. But then, now listen to this, when he was so frustrated, so angry against God's will, what did God tell Balaam? If you are so persistent against my will and plan, you go. But it was God's permissive will, by the way, okay? God, when we are so deliberate in our hearts, I don't want to obey God. God, in his permissive will, allow certain things to happen. For example, the young girl I told you, the marriage was not God's will. And these people persisted. They went ahead and got married. It was in disaster. Sometimes God permits. But when God permits, we should be ready to face the consequences. Here, when Jonah was in such a frustrated state, when he frustrated at the will of God, God was there to confront him. God was there to confront him. And this time, God got confronted in a very beautiful manner, as the way the Lord dealt with him. So I will come to that later, but let me just once again repeat the third point. Not be frustrated at the will of God, but see God's sovereign plan. Lord, if you are going to deal with Nineveh, the people of Nineveh that way, I understand, I accept. I want to praise your name. I want to worship you. In other words, when God guides us according to his will and plan for our lives in the right way, what should we say? We should join hands. Run together with God. Accept God's plan. And that's why fathom, accept God's sovereign will. Lord, this is that may be contrary to what we desired for. And that's a struggle. But we come along with God, knowing that it is God's sovereign will. Surrendering to the sovereign will of God is so important. You understand? That's what fathom. Be amazed. Accept God's sovereign, which I dealt with you last Lord's Day. I don't want to spend much time over there. But not to be frustrated at the will of God. Lord, while you are doing like this, I wanted to go for medicine, but somehow it did not happen. Lord, why? Why? I know there are students, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, they want to take the entrance exam, thinking that there is nothing else for them in their lives except to become a doctor. They're so frustrated at the will of God. Why, Lord? I want this. Sometimes it may not be the will of God. You accept. God might have something so beautiful for your life. And there's a sovereign plan for you. Accept. Fathom. That my God is a sovereign. He will have only that which is best for my life. Finally, it's a great encouragement, my dear friends, even in our struggle. This is my final point. In our frustrations, God never deserts us, but restores us with His restoring love. In our frustrations, God never forsake us, but He comes to help us. Do you see this in Jonah's life? Are we able to see this in Jonah's life? When Jonah was so angry, what did God do? God, even second time, first time he ran away to Nineveh, first time he ran away to Tarshish, God appointed a miracle fish to redeem, to restore him. Even second time, when Jonah was so angry, when he saw people of Nineveh repented and God showed His mercy, when he went toward the isolated place, God raised what? God raised a miracle plant. You remember? We have meditated that. God raised a miracle plant. When Jonah was, under the sun was very heavily coming upon him, and along with that the wind so strong, the heat wind. Suddenly, overnight, a plant, the Lord sovereignly brought up a miracle plant to teach Jonah a lesson. It was the mercy of God. Now, what happened to that plant? Come on, what happened to the plant? I already preached all these things, okay? This is just a revision for me. What happened to the plant? The plant, the next day morning, the plant went off. The Lord took it off. What was the lesson that the Lord taught Jonah over there? Jonah felt so sad when that plant dried off like that, because that plant was giving shade for him. Jonah was so sad, sat there, and the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah, why are you angry? Why are you so sad? Did you do anything for the plant? The plant just came up. It was my mercy to you that plant came up. It was a miracle plant. I brought the plant up to teach you a lesson. You did not work anything for that plant. But do you know, when the plant went off, dried off, and I took away that plant, you are complaining for that which you have not worked for. I have a people, 120,000 people, right? 120,000 people in Nineveh, whom I have created in my own image, who are not able to discern between them what is right hand and wrong hand. My own creation, my own people. I should reach out to that people. They are my people. And there the Lord taught the lesson. What was the object lesson for Jonah? God values His creation. God values us. That was a great lesson for Jonah. Now, was Jonah restored? Yes, I believe that was a restoration for Jonah. I believe that was a restoration for Jonah. Lord taught Jonah through that object lesson God's redeeming love, as well as God's restoring love. Those who are redeemed by the precious blood of our God, our Savior, my dear friends, even in our struggle, the Lord reaches out unto us. There were times we may try to run ahead of God. If you are God's child, what is the point? God will bring you back unto the fold and guide you into the path. This is what we call the restoring love of God. That sufficient God's mercy, my dear friends. That much sufficient God's mercy.
In our Bible study last Friday, that's what we learned and we studied. You turn with me to Romans chapter 2 verse 4, please. Romans 2 verse 4. Romans 2 verse 4. Vaibhav, you read. Romans 2 verse 4. Read louder, huh? Romans 2 verse 4.
Oh, despisest thou the riches of his goodness? Whose goodness? God's goodness. And forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth you to repentance. God is a God of forbearance. He bears with us. Talking about Christians, huh? Those who are saved by the precious blood of God, a Savior. At times we may run away from God, run ahead of God. God will make sure that we run together with God, run toward God. Please come. Please repent. That is the restoring love of God that we see in the life of Jonah. Yes, Jonah ran away from God. Yes, Jonah ran ahead of God. But God did not forsake him. Because God's mercy is what? Forbearance. He bears. He bears us. He covers us. He comes down unto us in our weaknesses. He strengthens us. That's the love of God. That's the mercy of God. We should never neglect this. We should never forsake this. We should understand this and come to this God. In our frustrations, when we think that the Lord is away from us, even because we ran away from God, if you are truly a child of God, God will come to you. God will rescue you. If that was not happening, then the story of Jonah was not there. If that had not happened with Jonah, then the story of Jonah has no relevance, my dear friends. The book of Jonah, again, when I said story, it's not a fairy tale. This is actual event that happened, which I told you before. It's a great relevance. It's a great relevance in this. Because God restored again and again the man Jonah. So when we are in struggle, the Christian struggle that we go through, what should we do? What should we do? In conclusion, let me draw your attention to the responsive reading passage that we read. Remember the responsive reading passage? Romans 7 verses 13 to 25. That portion is known as the Christian struggle. We all go through struggle in our spiritual walk with God. The struggles that we go through are realities. So, Paul went through the struggle. I want to be on your side, O God, but there is a carnal flesh. Take me away from you. But, O Lord, I want to be in your presence. I want to be with you. So what should I do? What did Paul say? The memory verse, two verses, 23, 24 and 25. Oh, wretched man that I am. Lord, I am so weak. I am so sinful. I struggle so much. Oh, wretched man I am.
I'm so weak, oh Lord. This morning I prayed I would not look into this particular picture, or I would not go to that particular site. Lord, I am tempted. I am tempted. I ended up there. Lord, help me to be victorious. Give me victory. I'm so wretched. I'm struggling in my Christian life.
Paul prayed, O wretched man that I am. And then, verse 25. Thanks be to God. I thank God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives us victory over sin, over temptation, over the struggle that we go through. That's the message of Jonah. And that's why Jesus Christ said, behold, greater than Jonah is here. You understand? Behold, greater than Jonah is here. Jonah struggled. Jonah was disobedient at a point. Jonah struggled to understand the Lord's will in his life. We all struggle, but we thank God. Christ has come. That today we could so boldly say, behold, greater than Jonah in Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He knows our struggles. He knows our situations. And He would be right there. If you rightfully acknowledge, if you rightfully experience that this is a salvation. Because Jonah finally said, what? Salvation belongs to the Lord. This is my final plea unto you. Take to your heart. That's why we read that Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2 verse 9. Don't forget. Even if you have forgotten whatever I have said for the last my 9 messages from this book. Jonah chapter 2 verse 9, you should never forget. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And you know the L-O-R-D is there what? That's a capital letter. L-O-R-D. Salvation belongs to the Lord. That L-O-R-D is... L-O-R-D is a capital for letters. You know what is that? It's the covenantal name of God. Yahweh. It's Christ. Salvation belongs to Christ. By whom? By Jesus we are saved. That's why there is restoration for us. That's why there is redemption for us. That's why whosoever call upon the name of the Lord, they will not be forsaken. Even in our struggle, even in our struggle, His mercy is enduring, forbears. His goodness is always there. We pray that with that we move on in our Christian life, that the Lord would see us through, shall we pray. Amen.